Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening Commodity Market Report. The Labor Department today says that U.S. consumer prices rose at their slowest annual pace last month in more than 5 years, largely due to a plunge in oil prices. The Consumer Price Index, which measures what Americans pay for everything from coffee to airline tickets, declined a seasonally adjusted 0.4% in December. A 4.7% drop in energy prices drove the decline, including a 9.4% plunge for gasoline prices. Excluding energy and food prices, prices were unchanged last month from November. For all of 2014, inflation was 0.8%. Europe edged closer to deflation in December as consumer prices across the European Union's 28 members fell for the first time since records begun in 1997. The Bloc Statistics Agency today confirmed that consumer prices in the 18 countries that share the euro were 0.2% lower than in the same month of 2013. The new figures also show that prices fell in the EU as a whole by 0.1%. Private exporters reported this morning to USDA export sales of 101,600 metric tons of corn for delivery to unknown destinations during the 14 and 15 marketing year. And this one probably gets traders' attention this morning. Exporters reporting the USDA cancellation of export sales totaling 285,000 metric tons of soybeans to China during the 14-15 marketing year. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 17,257, is down 26 points. The NASDAQ, 4,072, down 16. The S&P 500, 1985, down almost 4 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Tranquil weather will occur in the U.S. Midwest as we go forward through this next week to week and a half. We're not expecting to see much precipitation, and guess what? We're not going to see much cold weather either. We're having a hard time getting rid of the cold that we've been dealing with here recently. The afternoon temperatures yesterday across the region were still stuck in the teens and 20s across a big part of the region. Some 30-degree highs occurred in areas near the Ohio River and down into Kentucky, and there was also some 30s that occurred in the southwestern Corn Belt, but everybody else was quite a bit colder. In fact, a few locations in northwestern Ohio didn't get above 10 degrees. So very cold weather still hanging on, but it is going to abate, and we are looking at warmer temperatures coming up. Most of the U.S. plains and western Corn Belt will see above normal temperatures as we move through the next 7 days, and probably will still see somewhat of a warmer bias even beyond that time. But I say that with the known thought that there's going to be at least one cool air mass that will slip into the region that will likely bring those temperatures down just a bit for a short period of time before we go back into a more significant warming trend. The overall bottom line is still going to be much more pleasant across the Midwest than what we've been seeing, and that should translate into an opportunity to maybe melt some of the snow in the northern areas and perhaps get some of the excess moisture out of the region as well. There will not be completely dry conditions across the region. I don't want to imply that. There will be small weather disturbances coming through the region periodically that will produce a little bit of precipitation. At least in this next week, we're going to see those disturbances mostly across the northernmost parts of the region coming across the Dakotas over to Michigan. The first one is going to take place here as we go through the afternoon today and into the night tonight. This one doesn't have much moisture with it, though. It'll be a frontal boundary. They'll come through those areas, produce a few snow showers maybe, but that's going to be about the extent of it. Another disturbance will come in just behind that, probably impacting the region on Friday into Saturday, starting again in the Dakotas and Minnesota, and work its way eastward to Michigan. We'll likely see a little bit of light snow and maybe a little wintry mix of precipitation types coming with the system. Moisture totals, though, will be very low. Not much more than a tenth to 1,500ths of an inch of moisture, and snow accumulations should be mostly light, except downwind from the Great Lakes region. Everybody else in the Midwest will be dry, with the exception maybe of a few areas in Indiana and Ohio, which may get involved with a little bit of precipitation late Saturday night or Sunday as that disturbance moves by to the north. And then another system will show itself into the northwestern parts of the Corn Belt sometime during the early part of next week. It's a weak system, but it will bring in another opportunity for a little bit of light snowfall, and it will head across the Great Lakes region just like these other two events. Everybody in the lower parts of the Midwest will be left dry or mostly dry during a big part of this next seven-day period. The temperature bias is going to be warming up, as I mentioned before. We expect the afternoon highs today to run mostly in the 20s and 30s across the north, and we'll look for temperatures in the 30s and 40s in southern areas. Tomorrow afternoon, we'll see those temperatures fall back into a lower range again across some of the northern areas as that first little disturbance passes by there. Highs may be limited to mostly teens and 20s in the far northernmost parts of the region, but 30s and 40s, maybe even a handful of lower 50s will occur in the lower parts of the Midwest. It looks like Missouri and Kansas, parts of Nebraska will be warmest. Temperatures will be mostly again, running in the 30s and 40s north, 40s and 50s south as we move through the latter part of the weekend, early next week. Low temperatures at night are expected to slip back mostly into the single digits and teens in the extreme north, but everybody else is going to be seeing teens and 20s quite often. There'll be some lower 30s as well. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
The 26th annual All-Day Ag Outlook meeting is sure to attract a crowd. We have Sue Martin presenting a keynote address on commodities. All of our on-air analysts will forecast corn and soybean futures, cash grain, and answer whatever else is on your mind. And Murray Wise will give us the lowdown on land values. Cost for the March 10th meeting at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana is $25 and includes a continental breakfast and Beef House lunch. Get your tickets today by calling 217-333-7300. That's 217-333-7300.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Let's see how futures are trading. Hard red winter March wheat, 580.5, up 7.5. Soft March wheat, 538.25, up 5.5. March corn, 383.25, up 3.25. December, 410.5, up 3. March beans, 986.5, down 4.5. November, 970.25, down 6.25. March soybean meal, 325.80, down 90. March soybean oil, 32.96, down 3. Let's check in with Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing. He is in Champaign, Illinois, has the latest on futures. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, the soybean market continues in its decline, but the rate of decline has gotten less.
Yeah, the rate of decline has gotten less. We've really gotten down into some pretty oversold territory here. Your stochastics are down almost into the single digits here. So I guess I could see that we could possibly stabilize here, maybe even get a little bit of a bounce, but I kind of think that's the way to approach this right now. If you're, you know, if you've been lax in getting your row crop beans sold, you may want to look at, you know, putting some offers in above the market in case we do get some kind of bounce, maybe get some sales on.
In terms of also putting some sales on, would you look at December 15 corn at 411 as a starting point?
Well, I've been trying to use like a $4 cash number. We've gotten up to that level several times, and I guess at this point, you know, if you haven't sold anything, I think starting here is not going to hurt you. I guess I still think we have the possibility to get those, you know, the equivalent of $4 cash, however you want to do it, if you want to do it in the futures market or in the cash market or HTA. Let me just move back to the beans once, because I do want to make one quantifier there on my statement. And we still are watching this Brazil weather, and they've got rains forecast for early next week. I think that's going to be pretty critical whether we get those rains or not. It's kind of, you know, a lot of pod filling going on down there. So things can still change in the South American situation from a weather standpoint.
Does 88.6 million acres for corn, 88 million acres for soybeans do much in your mindset to think that there's going to be some kind of push and taffy pull for acres in the spring?
I think that's a possibility, and how it occurs, though, is really the question. I've been putting some tables together for our upcoming meetings, and it's, you know, you at those numbers, you pretty much see a reduction in stocks, a slight reduction in corn stocks. It's really hard to get the soybean ending stocks below 600 million when you use those kind of acreage numbers. So, you know, is it a matter of beans going down and corn staying stable to get your, you know, acreage pulled more to corn, or is it a matter of the corn going higher? It's probably a combination of maybe both. But,
okay.
Okay.
Got to go.
Okay, thanks, Dave.